fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to continue to look at the readings the church gives us this week. This morning, the first reading is taken from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah chapter 55. I love this passage. It's so good. It talks about the power of God's word. And I'll read it here, and then we'll take a minute to reflect. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. So the rain falls on the ground, it fulfills its purpose. It gives the water that's needed for the fertile soil to be able to produce the fruit that the farmer hopes it will produce. God's word is a seed. You remember the teaching of Jesus in the gospel, the parable of the sower, the one who goes out and just freely and abundantly throws the seed out. And some of it lands on rocky ground, some of it lands among thorns, some of it lands on the path, some of it lands in good soil. What this passage talks to us about is that seed that is sown has great power. And it has power because God has given it a purpose. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. Every word that the Lord has spoken is true. His word about reality itself, the revelation about who he is, words about who Jesus is, Jesus' purpose and plan, his diagnosis of your condition and mine, his promises, his revelation about his work of salvation in Jesus, his son, how each one of us can participate and share in that work. St. Peter, in his first letter, talks to us about the power of God's word, that it has a power to bring us from death to life. He says, you've been born anew, not by an imperishable seed, but you've been born anew, a living and abiding word of God. One of the most important things we need to understand as followers of Jesus, as Catholics, Christian people, is to understand the uniqueness of God's word. The Bible is God-breathed. There's no other book like the Bible, not even the wonderful books of the saints and any other religious book that's written in the world. Nothing compares to this because this book is inspired. It's inspired meaning it's not just some of God's ideas. It's God's intended revelation for us. God reveals himself to us. And this revelation gives us enough understanding of who God is. And if we take this word in, it will radically change us. It'll literally save us. God's word will save us. Ultimately, God's word, his perfect word, is his son. As John's gospel says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made through him, and nothing was made that has been made. But God sent forth his son into the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the perfection of God's word. In the fullness of time, God spoke to us by his son. Everything God wants us to know about him, that is, about God the Father, about his son, about us, about the world we inhabit, everything is revealed in the person of Jesus. God's ultimate plan for the salvation of everything and the recreation and the new creation, everything literally is revealed in the person of Jesus. So Jesus has come forth from the mouth of God, and he has not returned to the Father void. What God intended for the Son has accomplished. He's become one of us. He's taken on human flesh. He's brought to us the kingdom of God. He's told us everything we need to know about who we are and about the purpose and reality of his kingdom. He destroyed everything that's set against us, world, the flesh, the devil, the power of sin and death. All of it, Jesus has destroyed its power over us and its desire to subdue us. That's all been broken. And Jesus now has passed from death to life, which is the Father's destiny for the human race. He created us so that we might live forever. But sin in us has brought death. Jesus came to deal with that reality that produces death in us, sin and our attachment to sin. Jesus walked the walk the Father intended for every one of us, and he passed through death, and he entered eternal life, and he's returned back to the Father. It shall not return to me void. The Father's word, Jesus, came back perfect, fulfilled the will of God, and everything is made new as a result of it. It's such an important reflection. The prophet Isaiah just speaks about the truth of God's word, which is living and active and sharp than any two-edged sword, and has a capacity. Now, this word planted in us has a capacity to totally and radically change us for understanding of God, understanding of Jesus and his plan and purpose. As you often say in the program, St. Jerome's famous quote, ignorance of Scripture, ignorance of the Bible, is ignorance of Jesus Christ. We're meant to know him, and the more we know him, the more we know ourselves, and the more we know God's purpose and plan for us. Most of us don't know ourselves very well. We don't understand our own identity, and we don't know God's purpose and plan for us. That's because we don't know the Word of God. In the Gospel today, Jesus instructs us, really, he gives us a command, and if we put this command into practice, we're going to find our relationship with the Father growing and God's purpose and plan unfolding in us. He teaches us how to pray. This is from Matthew chapter 6. All of this came from a period of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer and how do we pray. And he tells us how not to pray. Don't babble like the pagans do. He said, as if to believe that the quantity of your words is what's going to get a hearing with God in heaven. Well, they don't know any better because they don't know God. And Jesus came to say, look, let me tell you how to pray. Let me show you how to pray. And it begins with the reality that God is a Father and that he's your Father. So he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to walk through it this morning. And as you do, this prayer that you've probably prayed hundreds, even thousands of times in your life, Jesus is literally orienting our entire internal life, our mind, our heart, our whole way of life, reorienting our concern toward the things that matter. He's saying, if you're going to pray, don't just babble, pray about things that truly matter. Pray to the Father first, who knows what you need, and now pray into God the Father's purpose for you. Friends, when we pray, we often pray about what we're most preoccupied by, things we're concerned about, things we're afraid of. You know, praying for the sick, you know, sick family members, praying for a future that we're not sure is going to go the way we want it to go. When we're anxious, when we're fearful, that's often the time we pray most and are usually sort of about us and about our concerns. It's very normal. And the Father understands that. But Jesus is saying, don't let it stop there. Here's the stuff that you really should be praying about. I know you're worried about many things, but this is the stuff that really matters. Pray for these things and everything else will go well, but make sure you orient your life this way. So here he begins with our Father who art in heaven. He wants us to know we have a loving Father, and his whole purpose in coming is to reveal the Father, reveal the Father's purpose, and the giving of the Holy Spirit to each one of us, that love that's been poured into our hearts, teaches us, gives us a new heart. It tenderizes us and gives us a share in Jesus' own Spirit, and orients us to the Father. So that Paul tells us that in us, the Spirit of God cries out, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit opens up the truth about Jesus, and Jesus and the Spirit help us understand that God is our Father, our loving Father, so we can approach him as Father. So the very first prayer Jesus wants us to be concerned about is, hallowed be thy name. We want the Father's name to be honored. Remember yesterday talking about the holiness code? If you didn't have a chance to tune in, talking about Leviticus, how God wants his people to live. And he underlines and he says, fear the Lord, understand the holiness of God, that God is great. So Jesus is saying, your first concern, your first prayer should be to set apart the name of God, to hallow his name, is what the passage says, to recognize the holiness of God, that his name represents who he is, that God is holy. And you want to be rightly ordered to his holiness, and you want to see the whole world recognize the holiness of God and give to God what belongs to God. That's the heart of a disciple. And now pray into God's purpose. Number two, he said, pray that thy kingdom would come. Remember Jesus' whole ministry when he began, he said, he came to preach the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand, the reign of God and rule of God. So now repent and come enter into that kingdom. So Jesus said, pray for this every day, many times a day, for the coming of the kingdom in your own life, your family, your church, your town, your diocese, your home, that the kingdom would come to the world. And then three, that God's will would be done. Thy will be done. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. So our first passion shouldn't be that my will be done, that the things I want to have happen, but a healthy position before the Lord as his child, as his disciple, is to pray for the things, as Jesus is showing us here, matter most. What matters most is that we recognize the holy God as our Father, and that the establishment of his kingdom is the most important thing happening on the planet. And that means coming into God's will. So we pray, Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the catechism reminds us that the will of God is he desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The first thing God wills is our salvation. And Jesus wants each one of us to be praying for our salvation and the salvation of others. God desires all to be saved. Do you desire that? Is that even a part of your prayer? Jesus wants that prayer inserted every day into your heart. He wants that prayer to come forth from your lips, to call down the kingdom of God and to pray for the salvation of the world. And that his will would be done as it is in heaven, that everyone would come to know, love, and worship him and be surrendered to him on earth just like it is in heaven. Then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you know our needs. And Jesus said, don't worry about what you eat, drink, or wear, but your heavenly Father knows what you need. Look at the birds of the air. That's a mystery of trust and surrender that Jesus wants us to think about every day and to know we're orienting our lives to a loving Father, one whom we can truly trust. And then he goes on. This is a biggie. Forgive us our trespasses. So we pray each day, repenting of our sins and the wrongs we have done. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a conditional proposition. We're praying in the Lord's Prayer a very dangerous prayer. Lord, forgive me as I forgive others. This is why Jesus wants us to be generous in forgiveness, be merciful, tender-hearted. When the apostles asked him, Lord, how many times should we forgive in a day? 70 times 7. That's 490 times a day. It's not the literal number, but it's the number of fullness and perfection. There should be no limit to our willingness to extend forgiveness to others who've wronged us. And then he said, pray that you not be led into temptation, but that we would be delivered from the evil one, from all evil and from Satan and his kingdom and his plan and purpose that's set against us. So Lord, lead us. Don't let us come into temptation. God does not lead us into temptation. But what he does do is we're praying he lead us away from temptation. He keep us awake and alert spiritually. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Jesus is your master. He's your Lord. His commission is to disciple you and to bring you into the Father's plan and purpose. And this fundamental teaching about how to pray orients us to God the way Jesus was oriented to God the Father. It's a great examination of conscience sometimes to say, am I oriented to the Father in this way? What's my prayer life really like? What is it that I most cry out to God about? Are these things included? Are these at the core of my heart and being? Friends, this is what Jesus wants to do in us, and it's amazingly freeing. Friends, let's pray that prayer together today. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.